I want to go ahead and introduce our speakers. So it's Melissa Hayes and Darren Jamison. They actually are both on staff here at the church. Darren works in our communications department. Melissa works in the church planting department. I know y'all are going to enjoy hearing from them. One of the goals of this morning on schooling options is to help you realize that there are choices out there, and just because you start somewhere doesn't necessarily mean that's where your kids have to end up forever. Even more, in my day, there were starting to be more choices than just your basic public or private school, and now there's even more. So I hope that you'll walk away encouraged by this morning. I know that Darren and Melissa are moms who have just gone through different things with their kids in order to find the right place for them. They have wonderful, very sweet, loving mother's hearts. And so I know they'll be an encouragement to you. Let me pray for the morning, and then I'm going to bring them up. They will introduce themselves and tell you about their kids. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you on a Thursday morning just so thankful for this time to be together. Father, I do thank you for every young mom in this room, for the ways that you have gifted each of them and their children. God, would this morning be an encouragement to them? Would you give them calm about these decisions that are coming their way? Lord, would you help them remember that you are always in control and they can always lay their questions before you and ask you for overall direction in their lives for themselves and their children's. Father, I pray for this morning. I pray for Darren and Melissa that you would give them the words to speak of encouragement, that you would be with them and strengthen them and fuel them for this morning, God, and would they know how thankful we are for them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So I'm Darren Jamison. I'm a little overwhelmed being in this room with all this baby preciousness. My baby's 18. And if you see me in the hallway, like, glaring at you or longingly, like, drool, just forgive me because I long for those days. And Jennifer can tell you, I just love the babies. And so I may be distracted in here. If you had told me that 20 years ago I would be sitting on a panel speaking or representing homeschooling, I would have told you you were crazy. Never would have imagined that. 20 years ago, I really didn't even know what homeschooling was. Little background about myself. I was raised in Louisiana. Can I say go Tigers? I moved to Georgia in 1994. We began attending Perimeter Church. My husband and I, we came before we had children. We began attending Perimeter Church. Actually, we were here the day they opened at this location. And we came because we thought, well, I was pregnant, or we had a baby, and gosh, you got to raise your kids in a church. So, but the first time we heard the gospel here and our lives were transformed, so I'm very grateful for this church. So we have three kids. Parker, my son, is 24. My daughter Madeline is 21, and Will Henry is 18. So I want to share a little bit about my homeschool journey, a little bit about the pros and cons of homeschooling. I'm not here to advocate that homeschooling is the way you should go. I want you to be encouraged that it might be a viable option for your family. It may be a good fit for your family. And I want you to think, if you decide that maybe it is, I want you to know that you can do it. It might be terrifying, the idea. I've been there. But there's lots of resources for that. I have notes. I want to make sure I cover everything. So we utilize multiple educational options in my family. I did homeschool. Am I just now on the... Was I not holding it close enough? Okay. I did homeschool for 13 years. Some or all of my children during that time. I had all three at home homeschooling for at least 6 years. I've used public school, private, Christian, preschool, and a variety of different homeschool pathways. So, and right now, my two oldest were actually homeschooled through high school. We didn't start at the beginning, but they did graduate from homeschooling. And my son, my oldest, just graduated with his master's from UGA in accounting, started his job this week. My daughter is a junior at UGA, and then my youngest went to public high school, and he's a senior at North Gwinnett High School. So I have a lot of different experience with that. I started at my local public school. So my youngest went to public school in the beginning. My oldest went to public school at the end. So I kind of bookended that. So the way I got into homeschooling was my son went to our sweet public school, B.B. Harris in Duluth, which I really loved. And then my daughter in kindergarten started. She was an advanced learner, and which actually presents some interesting challenges. I think the schools are maybe better equipped to address struggling learners, but an advanced learner, not so much. And they actually develop bad habits, and, you know, or at least she was developing some bad habits. She's a perfectionist, so if she didn't have to try hard, she wouldn't, and she would just do the easy way, and it made her academically lazy. Ultimately, it became very clear that I could do a better job at home with addressing her specific educational needs. And the idea was very overwhelming at first. So she was in first grade when we came to that conclusion. So early in the year, we decided that's what we need to do. And I thought, I'm an Enneagram 6, so I always anticipate and plan, and that's the way that I think. So I thought, I'm going to use the next, 8 months to prepare, to be ready to, endeavor on this new journey. I went to the library, which is every homeschooler's best friend. Checked out every book in the library on homeschooling. I think there were probably 6 then. I can imagine that today there's too many to count. But I found one called The Well-Trained Mind that spoke to me. It was a big old book. But the first, I didn't think I had to read the whole book. I started, and the first few chapters are really about educational philosophy, and then specifically classical education, which is spoke to me particularly. And then the last part of the book is a how-to, and I was like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. But still, I had a lot of anxiety, and I was like, my daughter's going to be in second grade, right? But I'm like, what are we going to do for high school? And then I'm like, okay, relax. Second grade. I don't need to be thinking about chemistry right now. I need to be thinking about second grade. And I was fairly early in my faith, and it was only later, and I was like, oh, I can go to God, right? So I did pray, and I was like, God, just, give me this year. If this is your will, let it be. Let me be in your will and direct me this year. And I'm going to be satisfied with this year. And as a controller, that was hard for me to let go of grades 3, 4 through 12. But I did, and God gave me peace about it. And we began homeschooling second grade, so 1 year at a time. By this time, my son was in fifth grade, and he was dealing with some educational issues of his own. And he would come home in the afternoon, and then I was having to reteach him what he had missed in class. So I was teaching him long division at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you can imagine that an elementary school student, after a long day, having to try to learn long division was exhausting for him. And then he began to say, I want to homeschool. And it became clear that's what we needed to do so we could address his specific educational needs. So at this time, my daughter was in second grade home with me. My son was in fifth grade at school. And my youngest was in half-day preschool program, which he was very active. And I was new to this homeschooling thing. So I thought, this is a good fit. He's, I have half a day without him that I can focus on education. So then the next year, my son came home and we began homeschooling him for sixth grade. And my youngest went to a half-day kindergarten program because, again, I thought, I can focus. Not only I'm not starting at second grade, I'm starting at sixth grade now. I haven't even done third, fourth, and fifth. How do I do sixth grade on my own? So he went to half-day kindergarten program. I actually utilized a supplemental program or a hybrid program called Veritas, where my son went to school 1 day a week. He had assignments from a teacher And he was held accountable for his assignments the next week when he went to school. And I kind of implemented and oversaw his program throughout the week. And that was a great fit for me and for him because it was that introduction to an upper elementary class or even middle school, I guess, at the time, sixth grade. So I felt comfort about that, and it was probably a great transition for him. But we did decide the next year my youngest was going to be home for first grade. My daughter would be home for fourth grade, and then we would homeschool for seventh grade. So I had all three at home. It was all on me. But by then, I felt a little more confident. I also had developed community, so I was no longer in it on my own. There were moms around me who'd been through it, who'd done it, who could encourage me, who could guide me, answer my questions about curriculum, and all sorts of things. I also joined CHEER, which is a great resource. It's home-based here in this church. It's probably 200 homeschool families. They offer field trips and enrichment days and community and all sorts of things that will provide support to homeschooling families. Eventually, my family moved into another kind of hybrid or support system called Classical Conversation, where we went to school one day a week, and curriculum or assignments were provided. It was very organized, and again, for me, it embraced the classical model of education that I had adopted. So it was a really wonderful fit for my family. I loved what we were learning. It had a biblical worldview. My children, because of the opportunity one day a week to be in class, were among peers. We developed great community with other families. And eventually I came to that point of my son was going to be going into ninth grade, and I was faced with what do I do for high school? Finally, that the horrid thing that I had been dreading was like, what do I do? But I came to love what we were learning. So remember, I adopted a homeschooling, or we as a family, path because of an educational option. So it wasn't about protecting our kids from the outside world or preventing a negative influence. It was an educational option. And I loved what we were learning. I loved how we were learning. I loved so many things about it. So we maintained that path, and we stayed at Classical Conversations and through high school for my son and even my daughter. But so my son graduated. We had a big CHEER graduation. They wore cap and gown. They did everything that, you know, people long for. There were maybe, you know, 15 to 20 graduates, and my daughter did the same. We also did dual enrollment. So they had an opportunity to take college classes outside before they went away to college. I thought that was a great transition. It helped prepare them to be accountable to outside teachers and kind of proved to them and to me that they were ready for that next step to go away to college. So that's what happened with my two older. My daughter also took an AP class, which was outside of Classical Conversations. We enrolled her there. She got AP credit. She took the AP test, did wonderful. And then my youngest is a different animal than my older two. And ultimately, we decided that the best thing for us as a family is for me to be only his mother and not his teacher. So after lots of prayer and investigation, we enrolled him at North Gwinnett High School. And he's about to graduate there. He's probably headed to Kennesaw to study engineering. So that's kind of a brief overview of my journey. I want to share a little bit about the pros and cons of homeschooling. Let me make sure I'm good on time. Okay. I think when I was first making my notes, the first thing I was thinking, the best thing is this. No, the best thing is this. No, the best thing is this. So I came up with three that I think are the best things. And every homeschool mom would tell you different. And the first thing is a customized education. And that's what I was so excited about, is about customizing the education to, you know, it started with my daughter and then to my son. So I could address each of my children as individual learners. And I can tell you that, and they each needed that, but I could tell you that my youngest, who kind of was drug along in the journey, probably would have really thrived in traditional school. He would have fit the mold a little bit better and probably would have done very well there. But we were homeschooling, so, you know, he was there along with us. But the customized education was wonderful. We could learn at our own pace. We could move quickly through math or slowly through math, depending on the style my child learned. If they struggled with a particular math unit, you know, in a school, they would have moved on to the next one. But we stayed. We could camp in that math unit. And then when they learned a math unit quickly, we could move quickly through it. We could do extra work if necessary. We could study what they loved, what they were passionate about, and I loved that. I also met lots of homeschool moms who had children with different learning styles, different learning issues, and that was often what drew them to homeschooling, was to meet their child where they were. And I think that's the greatest advantage to homeschooling, one of the greatest advantage to homeschooling. The other is the family experience, and I even broke that up into three things, which is the family learning. So classical education, one of the things that it focuses on is learning history chronologically. So we all learned history at the same time. Ancient history, we studied it together. Medieval history, we studied it together. So we had family conversations about history, about scientists. We would study the scientists from that time and what they learned. And sometimes people say homeschooling is redeeming two generations of education. I couldn't remember what I studied, but I was learning things, and I'm sure much more passionate about learning them than my children were. But I loved learning again and understanding the impact of something, a historical event on the Reformation. I certainly never studied the Reformation in school. And it meant so much more to me as an adult who'd become a Christian, who was a churchgoer but had really become a Christian as an adult, so understanding the Reformation. But that family learning was so precious. Also the family time, just that building relationships as a family was great, and then family vacations, because we could take a vacation in October. We went to Disney World in October a couple of times. We went snow skiing in February when it was slow season and we didn't have to wait on lift lines. So that was a great thing, being able to customize our schedule based on we weren't held bound to some other school schedule. The third thing is really to be able to speak into our children's lives. I didn't choose to homeschool for spiritual aspect, and that's not because other people did, and there's not a right or wrong, but I sure appreciated that when I realized how I got to speak to them and speak to their heart. And I didn't do it well. I certainly didn't do well all the time, but that was a precious thing about homeschooling. And then the fourth thing, this is the lower thing, the other things were the top, but just the community that I developed with other moms who were walking that same journey and struggling to love their children in the midst of sin and struggle, and the family community that we developed through that time, it was really precious to me. My sons, interestingly, some of his closest friends are still those families, and I'm friends with the parents, and we often get together. Like, they're married, some of their kids are married, and we all get together, we play cards or do different things. It's really sweet. Here are the cons. Here are the bad things. Homeschooling is expensive, and I don't mean your curriculum or your books. I mean, usually someone has to give up a career. That's expensive. I actually had the opportunity to work part-time from home the entire time. So I wasn't completely without income, but that was just how God worked it out for me. I worked about up to 10 hours a week for a ministry from home, starting when they were little. So I kind of was able to budget my time well and manage that, sometimes late at night, sometimes in the morning, sometimes they were reading. But the truth is, the homeschooling part of it is not expensive. I would say that moms with young children could get by with a phonics workbook, a math workbook, and a library card. And So it doesn't have to be expensive. The library is your friend. I would go to the library and pick up a duffel bag pretty much of books and bring home. You know, if we were studying astronomy, I would pick out fictional books about astronomy, nonfiction books about astronomy, and we would read them. I would leave them around the house. The kids would read them. So that was, you know, how we did things. Fictional books, we were studying ancient history, we might pick up a book about, I don't know, Charlemagne or somebody, and fiction, nonfiction, in addition to the history books we had at home. So the homeschooling aspect doesn't have to be expensive, but it does require integral parent involvement. And that's the second part of the cons. It's hard work. You know, you're not turning that over to somebody else. It really is on a parent, and often that falls to the mom. I remember taking that responsibility. It would be easy for me to slack off sometimes, but I remember my son was at school all day long. I felt how unfair it would be that he was in school if I wasn't really educating, spending time with my daughter. But, you know, it was on me. Everything was on me. The truth is, it wasn't all on me. It was on God and me. But, you know, as a mom, I felt that burden. And I felt the success and failure was, I had to do that work. It required that I do it and be committed to it. And the third one is, it's not really a con, but I think it's very important, is that your spouse must be on board. Because it's hard. I was with my discipleship group last night and asked them to pray for me to be here tonight, this morning, and one of them very wisely said, make sure that you say your spouse has to be on board. And she said, sometimes my husband would come home, there were occasions he'd come home and I'd be crying, it was a terrible day, and he said, tomorrow you just have a picnic with the kids. You just do that. And what an encouragement, because he could have come home and said, I told you this was going to be too hard. So your spouse needs to be on board, and that would be important. Here's just a couple of how-tos, a few how-tos. Cheer, I already mentioned it. I noticed they're having their kind of a homeschooling 101 session February 4th here at 7 on Tuesday night. That's in the Pulse, and you'll find it other places. That would be a great starting point. Books from the library, as you know. The library, books and the library. An organization that I utilize frequently, I shouldn't say, I didn't use them, I joined them every year, was HSLDA, Homeschool Legal Defense Association, because I'm a six and I worry about making sure all my ducks are in a row. I worried a little bit about, you know, the policeman knocking on my door saying, what are you doing? And HSLDA will defend homeschoolers if they, you know, from child services. That doesn't really happen in Georgia, you know, but that was just my nature to fear and worry. So I joined HSLDA every year, and I thought it was also great to support a homeschooling organization. But they do have resources as well. They're a little bit more focused on the legal side. The legal requirements in Georgia are very minimal, but you do have to do a couple of things to be authoritative, you know, to say I'm in line. So that's my spiel. I'll be happy to answer questions later, but I will turn it over to Melissa. Oh, that's right. You don't need this.
Is this working? Is that loud enough? Okay. That was great. You make me want to be homeschooled by you a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I want to learn about the Reformation. So I, too, like Darren, I'm kind of like, what am I doing here? Because I have a fifth grader and a second grader, both currently here at Perimeter School. But if you would ask me, you know, 10 years ago, where would we be? Probably wouldn't have been here, just because you don't typically plan that far out in advance, or maybe you shouldn't. So to share a little bit about our decisions is to share about our journey. And because my kids are still in lower school, we're still in the thick of it. We are prepared to change and move and do what we need as the years go by, because as you'll kind of hear, not every child is the same. Same DNA, two very different children, right? And then their needs are very different, and there's other things that come into play. So Ellery is my daughter. She's in fifth grade. And, you know, like every good couple, when we, when she, you know, is two, three, we start talking about school and what those choices are going to be. And I literally blinked and she went from 3 to 5 or like 4 and a half. And I thought, oh goodness, like now we actually have to decide what we're going to do for school. Because it's against the law if you don't. You could go to jail. So we started exploring our options, and our public school option at the time was not an ideal situation. It was just not, it didn't have the a really great reputation. We had heard stories from friends in our old neighborhood that just some bullying things, and we were like, that's just not going to be ideal for Ellery or for our family. And she also struggled with some anxiety. There was something, like, we just, you know, not anything crippling, but just very worrisome, very, it's kind of hard to explain. So our decision with school for her was based on our location at the time, her anxiety, and then also my fear. Like, I was just kind of, like, operating out of this place of fear of, like, just wanting her to be in the right environment. I knew she probably would thrive better in a smaller situation, a smaller class size. So we started looking at private schools in the area. And when I first mentioned private school to my husband, his first response was, it has to be Covenant. And so, and he said that, and that was our family's decision. So great, amazing private schools out there that are not Covenant, but for us and for him especially, it was key for it to be a Covenant school. He had gone, where he lived at the, when he was younger and grew up, he had gone K through 12 to a Christian private school all the way through. And he would probably tell you the only thing Christian about the school was that it was in the name and that they had a Bible class. So for him to, one, financially invest in a private school, it was very important that it be Covenant. So that was the key for him, and for me as well. So we started looking for Covenant Christian schools. Well, there's really not that many of those. So Perimeter was not an option for us at that time. My work schedule was a little bit crazy, and just logistically, it didn't make sense. So it really wasn't even on the radar very long. And then we had a couple other options that we explored and landed on one, like a smaller Covenant Christian school where Ellery started kindergarten. She had the greatest year. She was in a class size of 10. There was only two girls, which was really funny because they were like best friends one day and then like catty the next day, but it was just, but it was fun and sweet. Her teacher was amazing, and I felt like as a mom that we were getting what we were paying for, but we were also like, the fear was of us starting this school journey, like the fear started to subside a little bit. So as we approached kind of mid-year in kindergarten, we were like, okay, long term, what does this look like? We were a dual working family. Can we sustain paying tuition for 12 grades? And then we also had a little boy at home. So that would mean two going through 12. So we're like, okay, maybe we consider moving to a better area that had a better, kind of a better public school. And then we'll just give that a shot. Like, we'll see how it goes, and then we know that if that didn't work out, we could, you know, switch back. And so we did that. We moved a little farther out. Known for having a great public school system, especially their elementary school. I would say 90% of our neighbors' kids go there. All the parents rave, like very active, you know, PTF, and principals are amazing, all that stuff. And I was like, okay, we're doing this. We're going to do it. It's going to be great. I then had, her kindergarten and first grade year, had a, looking back now, a lot of this I say kind of like looking back and in hindsight, and I'll explain that more. had a very providential conversation. I was just sitting at the pool in our neighborhood. You know, our mindset is we're doing public school next year. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. This is going to be our life. We actually were excited about even the missional aspect of that and, like, being really involved there. And this lady I happened to just talk to at the pool that day, she was a first grade teacher. Not at the public school that my daughter would have gone to, but another one close by. And I was just like, oh, you know, how's it going? And we're kind of chit-chatting. And she shared with me, and she wasn't coming from a place of like, ugh. She was kind of just sharing with me her situation at her school. She was like, yeah, I have 31 kids next year. I mean, my eyes were like, huh, okay, like 10, 31, it's a big jump. I was like, oh, so you have an assistant or anybody in your class? And she was like, no. I'm like, oh, wow, 31 kids by yourself. That just seems a lot. I have 2 kids at home, and sometimes that seems like a lot. So can't even imagine 31. And that's also why God did not call me to be a teacher. I'm very well at that, or to homeschool. So I literally went into panic mode. And I'm also a fixer. I like to fix things, or at least try to. God has taught me a lot through that process. So I immediately went home and told my husband, scratch this. Like, we got to look at other options. So I kind of just totally did something I would not, really outside the box for me. I emailed our head of school at Ellery's private school and said, hey, I think we want to come back, but in order for this to work, I need to work there. So do you have a job for me? Yeah, that didn't probably work for everybody, but it actually did work for me. He messaged me back, and he's like, you're not going to believe this. Like, we actually do. And he was like, I think it actually would be a great fit for you. And I knew the lady who was in this current role, and she and I actually were very similar in a lot of ways. So I thought, wow, like, the Lord knows what he's doing, you know, like, let's do this. So I became the director of admissions at this school. So we started back there in first grade. Again, Ellery's having a great year. She's kind of, I would say, been my quote unquote easy child. Like, I feel like she, to this point, will thrive anywhere. Does she still struggle with some anxiety? Yes, and we walk through that with her all the time. And but all in all, kindergarten, first grade was great. Then my younger son Lawson comes into the picture, and I hate to say he's not my easy child, but he's not my easy child. But yeah, so he in preschool, my husband and I had this conversation pretty much the entire year whether or not we were going to repeat pre-K with him. It was just kind of like this constant conversation throughout the year. We got towards the end of his pre-K year and talked to his teacher, and she was like, you know, I could go either way. I think he could do it, but if you wanted to repeat, that's fine. So being in the position I was in at the school, they were like, if you decide to start kindergarten and it's just not working, we can kind of pull him back or whatever. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of a good option and some good flexibility. Sidebar here, and this is something kind of I learned in the director of admissions role. When you're choosing to repeat a grade, or I try to, like, really think about the verbiage that we're using and not say, I want to hold my kid back, because that sounds like you're taking something away from them as opposed to I'm giving them more time. So just to kind of sidebar there, because I feel like when we say we're holding our child back, it has a negative connotation. Sounds like we're taking something away from them and from us, when essentially we're giving ourselves another year with them. You know, when they get older, and then we're also giving them more time to grow into the person that God created them to be. And some kids just need more time, and that's okay. So we got about 6 weeks into kindergarten, and it was a nightmare. I was like, okay, let's go back. We'll go back. It's easier there. So we went back. fine, and then we felt like we were a little bit more prepared for kindergarten 2.0, as I call it. So we started kindergarten 2.0. We're still at our same covenant private school. And again, I speak to this from hindsight. It kind of the Lord didn't reveal a lot of this to me until after the fact. His kindergarten year is what I would call the perfect storm. Like, it was, you know, you think about kindergarten and think, it's going to be the best year ever. I mean, it should be, right? Kindergarten should be the best year ever. It was not the case for him or for our family. It was just a really rough year. His teacher would be probably, I would classify her as one of the best kindergarten teachers out there. So much energy, so much love. She dressed in costumes all the time. There's always lots of themes, lots of things. We would later find out in the course of that year that Lawson has ADHD. You throw lots of things, lots of different, you know, there's lots of things in the classroom. There's lots of things going on. I hate to say there's not a lot of structure, because there was, but it was just a lot for his little ADHD mind to comprehend. Therefore, he started, I would say, having some behavioral issues. And it's funny, I just read a quote the other day, and it said, bad behavior tends to come because there's a need that's lacking. And I thought, like, wow, that's one, the need in us when we have bad behaviors is Jesus. Like, we need Jesus, right? But for him, he doesn't comprehend what's going on in his little brain, and so he's acting out, right? Again, we didn't justify behavior. There was consequences to behavior. The consequences at school led to a lot of having to leave the classroom, therefore missing a lot of foundational pieces. So, again, just a perfect storm year. So about mid-year, we decided to proceed and get him an ed psych or a psych eval, where we did find out that he was ADHD. So we started, you know, doing different things to try to help him out there. The school was able to do some things, very great. At this point, our mentality was get through kindergarten. And I hated that, because it was like, it's kindergarten, it should be fun. But that was just our mentality. And we did, and we're all alive to speak about it. And then we moved on to first grade. His first grade teacher was very organized, very structured, had a great balance of nurture, but yet discipline. And he, like, thrived. Like, it was amazing. It was like I think the course of having that extra, it's funny how 6 months at that young of an age, too, you see the maturity. I saw some maturity in him, and I was like, okay, Lord, we can do this. This is great. About halfway through his first grade year, you know, we had a meeting with his teacher and some of the administration, and they're like, he's doing great behaviorally. Like, this is awesome. We're having a great year, but academically, he is way behind, essentially. And we're like, okay. And my thought at the time was, oh, it's because he got pulled out in kindergarten so much, he just missed. So we'll work extra at home. We'll get some tutoring. And so we did. And it helped. We saw progress. But for him, every 20 steps another student made forward, he was only making like two or three. So it was kind of like, yes, we were seeing progress and we were doing all the work, which was red flags for us that there might be bigger issues at play for him. So mid-year, his first grade year, we decided, okay, now we need to do some academic testing. So we went back for yet another ed psych and decided to do some academic testing. That ed psych didn't really reveal a ton other than he's got ADHD, because his testing was, he would score really high in one area, and then you do the same thing again really low. So a key with ADHD is it's a lot of inconsistencies. So what he looks like one day may be very different the next day. So we were like, okay. And so any kind of specific diagnosis was deferred at that time. So that's when we started considering, okay, maybe we should look at a different schooling option. Like, maybe maybe just a different environment, maybe, I don't know, we just started looking and doing some research. And through my time as the admissions director, I was very familiar with Perimeter School. I know Lori Azamar and Jennifer Wilmot, they were actually friends of mine, and they're in admissions here. And so I met with them even a couple of times as far as exploring the options here. And I don't know if you do, if y'all know this, but Perimeter School has a what's called the Horizons program, and it's kind of, there's a lot underneath that umbrella. There's, you know, there's classes for dyslexic students. There's what's called NILD, which is National Institute of Learning Difficulties, which is where we kind of honed in on and thought that might be a huge piece for Lawson. It's not necessarily tutoring; it's actual educational therapy. So we're like, we felt the Lord really calling us to make the change. And it's kind of like your third child, Ellery, was just kind of like, all right, you're coming with us, sister. You get on board. And the Lord really answered prayers with her making that change, because she had been with her same friends from kindergarten to fourth grade. But when we had that conversation with her, like, she was like, okay, let's do what we got to do for brother, you know. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord for that. So we started here this year. Like I said, Ellery's in fifth grade and Lawson's in second grade. He's doing really well. I think the half day, as far as like education for him, has been great, because like you were saying, coming home and doing homework at 4 in the afternoon or tutoring or anything else, it was just so much on everyone. And it does take away from that family time in the evening when you just kind of go to bed angry because you just spent an hour fighting over spelling words. Like, hey, if you take anything away, do not fight over spelling words. It's not worth it. So anyway, he does educational therapy here 4 days a week as well. And it's, we're, like I said, we're still in the thick of figuring it out. Like, we have yet another ed psych in a couple weeks. We are thinking that we just meeting with administration and his teachers and psychologists, we do feel like we're honing in on a specific diagnosis for him, which is great. But it's just funny how the Lord puts you in the right places to, because I feel like if I was never the director of admissions at that school, I probably wouldn't have gained with some wisdom and insight that I needed to like use it for my own child. So I have like 5 kind of key points, and I used to use this all the time when I did that role. And the first one is, I should know these, like, make your must-have list. Like, and that could change. That could change. It's not going to stay the same as your schooling journey goes on. Like I said, for us, when we initially started looking at private schools, Covenant was key for us. That might not be the case for you. It may be that you're looking for a specific curriculum. Maybe it's like you really want a STEM program or something like that. Maybe it's based on your child's needs. So trying to kind of make your must-have list, because as Gail was saying earlier, there are so many schooling options out there. If you kind of make that list, it really will help you narrow it down. The other one is, this is not necessarily a life decision. Be prepared to take it year to year, because you don't know, halfway through the year, you may hear some news that may change the trajectory of what you're going to do for next year. So just be willing to kind of have that year-to-year mentality. Yes, we would love to plan for high school, which I probably need to talk to you about Veritas later. We would love to plan for high school now, but that's not the reality that we live in, and we don't know what our kids are going to face and things that are going to come up. And I even think in the last 5 years, education and just what our kids are exposed to has changed so much. So that might be even a factor you think about as you're planning and deciding. Not every school is right for every child. It's kind of like getting married. This guy may be perfect. He just might not be perfect for you, right? So not great schools just might not be great for your child. And again, that's not something you will maybe know overnight. You might be having to switch gears, but just know that that's something to consider. Seek wisdom and counsel. I have been very blessed, like, over the last 5 years to really, I feel like the Lord just has put so many different people in my life to share their stories and their journeys, and those things are not on accident. Like, so listen, you know, and even say like, okay, God, what are you telling me through that story or this person's story? And I would say even to that, like, trust your teacher and their administration and the administration. Like, I would say initially, and this is on my fault, when we started early on having conversations about Lawson, I kind of went into some of those conversations with the school as we versus them, or we and them. And I think you have to go into it as we're a team looking for, like, we're all on the same team. Like, Lawson might not be the school's child, but they don't want him to fail. So kind of have, like, you know, just know that you're on the same team. Don't approach it the way I did initially, kind of thinking we're, like, not necessarily against each other, but kind of, I don't know. And then that last one is just tap into the Spirit. Like, know, I'm sure you're doing this, but pray daily for your child. Pray for their education. Pray for, you know, their spouses, their friends. Their friends make a huge, they play a huge role in their school, years. So, I would just say tap into that. And, that's kind of my story, our story. And we're excited to see what the Lord's going to do with us. We're kind of a hot mess at our house most of the time. Any questions or anything that? Sure. That's a great question. So a covenant school means that, and this can actually change depending on the school, but covenant school is that one or both parents or guardians are of the Christian faith. So there are some, like, faith-based and Christian private schools in our area, but they're not a covenant school. Like Perimeter and the school that we had gone to, and there's a couple of others. You do go through, like, during the admissions process, there's like an interview and things you go through to make sure that you are a covenant family. And I look at the covenant aspect as just another layer of protection around our kids, because we know the kids that they're going to be in class with, their parents are like-minded. Like, they're going to, again, we may not raise our kids exactly the same, but at the end of the day, we kind of have the same end goal. For our families. No, that's a great question. Any others?
How old are your kids? No, I'm just curious. 1 year old. Yeah.
Don't blink.
Yeah. You will learn, you know, I love what you said, like, you have two kids and they're completely different. And in some ways that sounds like duh, but I had three kids and they were each completely different. But you get to know them, especially as they get to that age, 4 and 5 years old. You see what they're doing. You see if they have trouble sitting still for a long period of time. You understand what fascinates them and what motivates them. So you'll just learn it by observation. And I'm a big advocate. There's nobody that knows that better than the parents. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm all about school choice in every respect, that you get to decide, because you will know that. You will be very abundantly clear what your child needs and how they learn. You don't even have to read a book to know about kinesthetic learners, which are those who are hands-on, or... Like, I know now I'm very visual, and I don't take in information auditorily. I didn't know that about myself till I had to think about it about my own kids. But you don't even have to read books about it to start seeing those things and knowing this is going to be a struggle for my kids, or my child's going to thrive here. So be assured that when the time comes, you're going to know that about them.
Yeah. And I would add, like, I remember touring, kind of a component of just, you know, you have just a gut feeling. I totally think that's the Holy Spirit nudging you to say yes or no. So go with that. But I remember when we were initially looking for Ellery, our oldest, and we had gone to one private school. And, I mean, it was awesome. It was great. But I noticed all the kids were very, very, like, not I would say prim and proper, but very put together, a lot more so than my daughter at the time. And I was like, Ellery would ruin this place. Like, it just did not feel like the right fit, just a feeling. It was like, this school is great, but Ellery would not, would she have done okay there? Probably. But it just didn't seem like the right fit for her type of personality. Like, she needs to be able to have a band on the bottom of her chair so she can bounce her feet. She needs to chew gum or play with something. Like, she's very, very tactile and likes to touch a lot of things. And not that they didn't do that. I'm sure they were probably putting their best face forward. I get that. But there was just a feeling of, like, Ellery needed a little bit, just a difference. And I picked up on that immediately. Like, there was just an immediate feeling of, this is probably not it for us. Yeah. Are you saying, like, to go and, like, just see the school or visit, or, like, to sign, like, to make sure she's registered? Or
I always think your neighbors are the best place to start. But we enrolled our son in the public school. We probably knew very little about it, except that this has been a long time for me. I think it had a reasonably good reputation, but it wasn't one of those that everybody desires their kids to go. But that, I don't even know if they had test scores even for elementary school, but there were no red flags, let me just put it that way, for me. And I was a little ignorant, honestly. Financially, we didn't have other options. And again, homeschooling was not in my brain. So it felt like that was where we would go. And I did have the benefit of another family whose son was also going at the same time, his friend across the street. And so I felt like we had that unified parent work in this together, mm-hmm. and we could share experiences, and we had very positive experience with him. So I didn't have anything that made me nervous other mm-hmm. than just sending my child to school in general, you know.
And I'm always a fan of the sneak attack. Like, I just show up at the school. Like, hey, I'm here. I'm curious. Can you show me around? One, they don't have time to make things look a certain way. I remember I had that approach when we were looking at preschools, and when we also were considering Ellery doing public school between kindergarten and first, I just showed up. And I was very, very pleased with what I had seen, just kind of without having to, quote-unquote, schedule anything. Now, I did go back later and schedule, and this was just my personality, my type 1, Enneagram 1 personality. Like, I did schedule, like, a time later to meet with the lower school principal, but I just kind of wanted to see, like, hey, just show me around. I want to see, and for me, that was just needing to, like, kind of know what things were going to look like, too.
Was this at your public school?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the one where I just kind of showed up one day and was like, hey, we're considering sending our kid here next year. Can someone show me around? And they were able to do that. I don't know if that's the case for your school, but I'm a big fan of sneak attacks, like, show up unexpected. Yes.
I will add that my parents were both educators at one point in their careers. They were in public school. When I told them that I was going to homeschool, I didn't realize how much anxiety and angst that they had about that. Till my dad came to me. My dad never intervenes, never. And he came to me and he's like, Darren. Now, remember, it was my daughter's, you know, needs. And I had actually worked with the administration, but I just felt like, again, I think if my child were struggling to learn, it would have been much more of a team effort. But they didn't consider that a significant need. Now, her teacher itself was so wonderful and tried, but she had 25 students in her class. So she couldn't do that much to give her special attention. So my dad came to me, like, a couple of weeks later and was like, Darren, do you think maybe you could go back to the principal and talk to them again? And, you know, and I thought, wow, for him to come to me, this has really been a burden to him. Of course, I didn't want to push the school into doing something that they weren't on board with. That was not their plan, so it wasn't a thing for me. But I don't even know what made me think of that. But that was why I was just, I was going to public school. That's, I went to public school. My parents taught in public school at one point. So it was just what I anticipated doing. I really, you know, didn't think about a lot of else, especially when financially I had, we just had our third child. I stayed home. We didn't have money for private school. So I was really kind of, like I said, walking in ignorance. Somebody else had their hand up.
You could always even look into, like, if you know someone older in the neighborhood, a lot of times parents might go to lunch. You could always join that parent for lunch. And again, just kind of, just getting a general feel or vibe for the school would be helpful. Yeah.
I don't know that we were ever in significant conflict. I think our hardest decision was making the decision to not send our, to send our youngest to school. He was on board ahead of me with him. Of course he's going to school, you know, and I was like, well, don't be so certain. It's not certain that, you know, we need to make sure. Of course it was that it was true, but I wouldn't say there was conflict as much as there was ever uncertainty or he often my discipleship group is doing the marriage, healthy marriage. I don't know if y'all are in the journey. So we're talking about headship and submission. But truthfully, he often deferred to me. He just, he accepted that I had the expertise and that I was really the hands-on. And so generally, if I said, this is what's going on and this is what I think we should do, he generally accepted that as maybe how we should go.
I agree. Ours wasn't like a big conflict. It was more of, I think he was bringing in his like past kind of negative experience from his school. And when I brought up private school, he kind of reverted back to like his days. And so he was kind of like, no, we'll go this route. But I presented a strong case. I brought things like, hey, these are my reasonings of why I think we should do this. And of course, heard him out as well, but again, I think he kind of just deferred to me in that area. Now, that being said, we revisit every year, and we still kind of have those conversations, and they're not like huge conflict, but we talk through different scenarios together. Now with Lawson and just his learning difficulties, sometimes those options aren't as big anymore. So that's kind of, I guess, quote unquote, helped. But I would just say, have conversation with him like, hey, bring me your reasons and I'll bring you my reasons. And some of those reasons actually could be the same. You're just looking at it from two different angles to see, or you maybe even just approach it from a standpoint of, let's just give this a shot. Like, again, this doesn't have to be a 10-year decision. Let's try it this year. And if it just isn't what I think it's going to be or isn't what you think it's going to be, we can revisit, you know. Does that answer your question a little bit? Okay. I'll pray for you that y'all get on the same page because that's important. Yeah. Any other questions?
I want to encourage you. Melissa said this, and I can't say it enough, to pray for your kids. I really believed that I was in a lot of control when I was homeschooling my kids. I really was, and it appeared that I was in control of so much. Mm-hmm. I made the decisions. They were with me all day. There wasn't other people speaking into their lives. But the truth is I was not in control. And I would encourage you to pray for your children. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds silly because you're going to hear that every day you show up at this church, pray for your children. But let me tell you, pray for your children because ultimately there's only one in control. Mm-hmm. And he has a good plan, and sometimes it's a hard plan. But There's nobody that I would rather be in control now. I accept that I should not be in control, but it was a long journey for me. So pray for your children. Pray for their direction. Pray that you will know how they learn. Pray that those answers are clear. Pray for the options. Pray for all of those things.
Yeah. And for their teachers and classmates, that's huge, because those are the people they're spending a bulk of their time with throughout the day. So just be, you know, praying for those relationships as well. Y'all are staring at us. Are we supposed to do something? I don't know. Okay. I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for letting us share.